Thank you so much for listening to Elevated on Radio Pulpit, or perhaps you're catching the podcast live on YouTube. However the case may be, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you just tuned in, you are right on time because I'm about to welcome our guest for the day. Her name is the gorgeous, gifted Pamela Jejane, who's a powerhouse. Her life is really a beautiful testament to walking in God's favor and grace. You might know her face and her voice, where she's, of course, part of the internationally acclaimed gospel ensemble Joyous Celebration. But she's also in the corporate world. She's a boss babe, a marketplace missionary, I like to call ourselves. She holds a degree in public administration, along with credentials in business administration as well as supply chain too. But there's another side to Pamela that I also hope to get into. She's also developed a love for events coordination, red carpet hosting, and more. I can't wait to get to know her better. Pamela, good day and welcome to Elevated.
What an introduction.
Oh,
thank you so
you.
much, Jenilee. Thank you for having me, and greetings to all our Radio Pulpit Elevated listeners at home and everywhere they're listening from.
You know, I love how diverse you are. When I look at your profile, you are just so diverse. But this dream, this purpose that you're living out, it all started in Bizana in the Eastern Cape. If you were to take us back to Bizana, where you grew up, describe the little Pamela to us, how you grew up and where it all started.
Oh my gosh, that will need the whole day. Tell me you have time. I don't mind.
Nothing but time for you. Nothing but time.
So Bizana is where I was born and raised. And it's a very small town in the Eastern Cape. I raised by a single mom and I have three siblings. I'm the firstborn of how many, or three siblings, but there's a lot of cousins coming after me. So I was literally the deputy mom for a number of them. But I grew up in a very female-dominated and spiritually led home. My mom still believes so much in Christ, rooted in Christ. My grandmother the same. And so my mom was younger when she raised us. She was 15 when she got me, but that is her story to tell. I always just make reference to how she didn't just decide on letting us go and just decided to strengthen up and be bold and raise me and my sister at 15 and 16 years to the girls that we are today. Not perfect, but thriving and trusting God for where he wants to take us. But I became a student at school that sings a lot. In Sunday school, I became a leader of the Sunday school choir by the grace of God, because my mom could sing too. She still does. And so I had to follow in her footsteps. Everywhere I went, they were like, "Oh, Mama Cole, we know your mom. She sings, so you're going to have to sing." So that's where the love for music started, because now I felt seen. I felt like I was contributing something at church and in the kingdom of God. I was like, okay, sure, we can do this, because I feel fulfilled every time I do it. School choir until grade 11. When I was doing grade 12, I thought, I'm joining church and I can't do the two, because at church I'll sing however I want, and at school I have to control my voice. And every time I come back on Monday, they would need a perfect choir voice, choral voice. And so I had to choose between choral and gospel. I was like, okay, sure, let's serve God. So we started serving God. But growing up in a small town, the visions were not so clear. You could only see what's in front of you. And so being in a home that's led by young people, there was not much apart from what you see on TV and maybe what you see at church. So I had to go out there and figure things out, mostly after grade 12, when I was now living on my own from varsity. And so until now, I'm on my own. I'm still figuring it out. But there was not much direction, because my mom was young and everybody else after her is young. My grandmother was always away because she was working for us all. So I've had to just figure things out. And yeah, singing became my comfort zone, my space where I could just feel like I belong. And yeah, I'm doing something. Every time you get those applause, you're like, yes, it means we did something good. Yeah, so that's basically it. Until I got into the big cities, I was like, okay, life is more. There's just so much going on out here. I started getting curious and wanting to explore. That's how then I got into the other things that I'm doing. And wanting to survive, I worked in hospitality. I did quite a number of things trying to build my own, define my life the way I could as now an individual. Yeah.
But yeah, Pamela, I think you've sketched a beautiful picture for us of you growing up, and we get to see the dynamics. And I always say that one of the things that really pushed me was the fact that I knew that I have to figure this out. And I see the difference between some of us who you've got that drive and you knew you're gonna have to do this. The difference between those of us who come from backgrounds like that and those who kind of have buffers and safety nets around them. It's so different. Do you agree with that? That it kind of pushes you and drives you because you've got to do this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And because now you know failure is not an option, or failing is not an option, you want to live the same life you've been living for forever. I mean, the life you know, and that was not so easy. So you decide, I can't continue like this. And if I stay here and not push, it means I will live like this for the rest of my life. And because no, I don't want that. Now you sort of have to start and push hard until then you are comfortable and you can say, okay, fine, I've done something for myself. But no, failure is not an option for us who don't have backup like that. Nothing easy comes. When things don't come that easy for you, just put in the extra work. If it means staying up until morning, that's okay. If it means having two jobs like how I do now, you just keep pushing. You don't stay. You don't sit behind and wait for anybody because no one's really coming to save you.
Yeah, except for God. And that's what I want to ask
Absolutely.
you.
Oh, of course.
Except for God. Do you find that because of what I just described and that stance of I've got to do this, do you sometimes find that it's tough to balance that with reliance on God and dependence and surrender to God? Because when you're used to doing it on your own, sometimes it becomes unhealthy independence too. Do you find that?
Yes. I love that question a lot because I think I had a conversation with my friend about being too independent, like hyper independent, that you think everything must come from you, like everything, you are the source of whatever for everybody else as a firstborn. And she always tells me, calm down. Calm down. Just let other people be. But yes, that hyper independence always, I find that it sort of draws me further away from God because now I'm trying to figure things out on my own. And until I get that reminder and that wake up call, that girl, you are here because God has carried you through. You are, and I believe I am a product of grace and God's favor for opening doors and making things easy for me. I do sometimes tell the story about how God just made it work for me to be part of Joyous Celebration and feeling that I wasn't worth much of it. And just everything worked together. And I know I never take credit of that because God has always just carried me through. And when I left Durban to come to Johannesburg, he said, go, I will sustain you. And every time I think of God myself, I remember God has said he will sustain me. It
Amen.
hasn't been my knowledge, it hasn't been my wisdom, it hasn't been my strength. It's just always him. But I have to constantly remind myself that I am not here because of what I can do or what I did. It's always been him. So that hyper independence is not so great sometimes until you get that nudge that calm down. It wasn't you. You are not all that. Oh, God has been carrying me through.
Yeah, I love how you described earlier that being raised by a teenage mom and, the circumstances, you didn't really see anything else except for perhaps what you see on television. What you see determines what you dream. Sometimes if you can't see it, if you don't have it modeled around you, you really don't know how far to dream.
Absolutely.
Do you
Oh, yeah.
remember what one of the first things were that you saw outside of where you grow up, you grew up, where you saw it and you realized that is part of your dream, or where it opened up your spirit to seeing more for yourself?
Sure. That is deep. And while I'm listening to you, I'm seeing a whole lot of them. Sure. I would say it was people who are driven by God. And 'cause when I left home, I went to study further, but I was not going to a varsity because that after my metric, I didn't have a plan. So my aunt sort of said, "Come, you are not going to stay at home." And I left home and went to Durban to study further, a higher certificate in business administration. And so when I got there, I was still looking for familiarity. I was still looking for what felt like home. And so in all of that, I was looking for church to belong. I found a church. And the way now things were done in that church were different because now it's a bigger church. The space is huge. It's an auditorium. There's order. There's everything is done in a certain way. Like every day there's a schedule. I even found myself saying, "I don't like programmed things because now it means we are limiting the move of God." But I felt the order was great. And I was like, okay, I have to adjust to how things are done here. And because we flowed where I was coming from. In our definition, it was flowing. And so I found people just deeply rooted and knowing really well what they're doing. Like if you get there from 8 to 8:30, there's something else. From 9, if you are not done, somebody's already stepping up to say, okay, it's something else must happen now. And then we move. And I could say more than the other things that I can think of right now, I found church opened my eyes into knowing that the things of God go with order. There's order in the house of God. It doesn't mean that because now there's a structure, we are moving according to our flesh or our minds or our understanding, but there must always be order. And since then, I arranged my life and knowing that, okay, fine, we get there at 8, we sit there, we are done at 11, but everything has been done. There's no staying until 2 because now everybody wanted to testify and they took 3 hours for testimony session because nobody was stopping us. So I could tell that, okay, so I could live a life that has direction without feeling that I am disturbing the flow of God, and just allow the flow and structure to sort of direct and guide me where God is taking me. I think that opened my mind, and even when I got to Johannesburg, I sort of went and looked for churches that have order like that. Like, okay, let's have a structure. Let's see what's happening at 12, what's happening at 1. Okay, in music, okay, sure. We have a show. It starts at 6. Okay, it finishes at 7. We are done at that time. There's nothing that, okay, showbiz, crazy stuff. Sometimes you're called at 6 and then start performing at 8. But that sort of gave me direction in knowing that it's not always wrong to have a structure. And so I think my life has been arranged like that. I know, okay, wake up, go to work on Saturday, there's this, have a diary, and not just wake up and be like, the Holy Spirit will lead me. Yes, he's been leading me in that structure and in a very orderly form. So I hope this answers that question.
Absolutely. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Pamela, once again, thank you so much for your time and sharing some of your life and your heart with us today. I want to ask you about some of your experiences at Joyous Celebration. You touched on it earlier, how you didn't feel that you were worthy, you didn't feel like you deserved to be on that stage. But how has it shaped you? And perhaps what are some of your most memorable experiences so far?
Oh man, Joyous will always be my story. Joyous will always be the love, the part of my life that I love talking about because, oh, a lot has happened in the 9 years that I've been. But in all those years, it's been amazing memories. It's been great. God has been humbling me. God has been raising me. God has been blessing me. A whole lot of different lessons that if you are not truly just obedient to the call, you would either decide to stop or think this is just glorious and it's you, and now you forget about where God has taken you from and what his purpose is for your life. So in all of it, I've learned too many things. Among the many things, it's just being obedient and staying humble and staying rooted in Christ. Sure, I've had this thought of inferiority in my whole life, like this feeling that, and I mentioned I didn't feel like I deserved Joyous in the first place, and even being there has always been like, okay, what do we do here? You know, I always felt that I am just among your cappering, following the pack, not part of the ride, and only because if for me, what mattered was what people are saying. For me, it was are you applauding me? Did I do something that will excite you as a person out there? And that sort of for me, I measured it. I made it mean that I'm doing something good. And when those applause were not happening, I would feel that I haven't done great. I am failing. I am. So sometimes when I felt that I'm at the back of the choir, I'm just taking a back seat and everything, I'm delayed, I feel unseen, I feel unappreciated, I would feel that there's something wrong about me. And not until I got to a point where I felt when I would say God spoke to me and said, those applause would really just get you excited, and if it's not for God's glory, it means I'm not doing it for him. If I allow people to applaud me, I still allow them to bring me down whenever they want, because I'm building my whole life and my whole ministry around what they say. And on days where they don't say anything, I feel like I haven't done anything. Until then, I thought, okay, I'm being humbled here. I am being taught how to wait for the right time. And being at the back line doesn't mean I am not contributing to the purpose. Being at the back line doesn't mean God is not working in me and for me. I wanted to be at the front like everybody else, but I could see God working. I still feel it generally. It's crazy how every day I feel that God is working in my life nonstop, 24 hours, without even great things to show. But I know God is constantly at work, and that made me see even the smallest things. It made me appreciate the move of God, even in the little things. Every day I wake up, I'm like, okay, I'm still part of the choir. That's all that matters. My voice is there. Even if you don't see me in front, my voice is, I am contributing to the kingdom of God. We are building this. This is a process. And for my own faith, I am growing every day. Every day I'm growing to trust God and just allow Him fully. I have learned to fully surrender and wait on Him for that opportune time, for that right time. And I know when He's clapping for me, it doesn't have to be multitudes. Like it doesn't.
Amen.
When I have touched His heart, I always know, okay, we've done something here. It doesn't have to be multitudes, like how I thought being famous means, like have everybody clap for you and that's all. But yeah, God has really just been working through Joya Celebration and through being in a group of people that in my eyes look like they are making it, they're excelling, they are, and I'm like that one who's sort of feeling like everything is happening slower for me than them. But God is like, okay, sure, you can look at them, but you forget to look at what I am doing in you, not in them. So now, because you're facing your attention somewhere else, you are missing out on what is happening in your life, the smallest steps, the smallest moments. So
Absolutely, absolutely.
it took that whole experience for me to be like, okay, sure, God, let's go, let's go.
I love what you're describing, and I always say that we need to understand that it's better to move at God's pace and be in His purpose, because He knows what measure of pressure will break me and what will build
Come
me.
on,
Like
come on.
He's fully aware of what He created me for, and He's fully aware where He needs me when. I even say that about money, Pamela. I say that if I need 100,000 rand now for the purposes of God, you better believe that I will have it, because it is for the purposes of God.
For
If
the
I don't
purpose of
have it
God.
right now, if I don't have it right now, it means that God knows I don't need it right now, because I live a
Right
surrendered
now.
life.
Come
I live a
on.
surrendered life. So when you live a surrendered life, God provides in pockets, in as far as your purpose is concerned. But another thing that you were describing is imposter syndrome, which is something that many, many of us struggle with. And I write about it in my new book, The Marketplace Mission, about how the enemy uses, among many other things, imposter syndrome to keep us from flourishing. Because as long as you feel like you don't belong in the room, you can't own it. As long as you feel like you don't belong,
So
it
true.
actually has nothing to do with people around you. As long as I don't feel like I own the room, like I belong in the room, I can't own
Come
it.
on.
And God needs me to have dominion. So the enemy comes with all these lies and, intrusive thoughts. And we need to deal with it, because the callings upon our lives and what God wants to do through people like you, who are so versatile, the calling is big. The calling is big. And therefore, sometimes the process is long and it is intense, because He wants to make sure that we can carry what He's going to place in our hands, that it will not break us, but that we will be able to sustain it. So I love your story. I really do. And I want to ask you, Pamela, there might be someone else like me and you who's watching or listening today, grew up, raised by a single teenage mother. Perhaps somebody's listening and their father was not part of the process. When that comes with identity issues as well, it comes with rejection. Somebody might be listening and they saying, "That's me, Pamela. I feel like that right now. I can't see myself." Girl, you've been to Durban, you stay in Joburg, you've been with Joyous Celebration. I can't even see beyond where I am right now. Just briefly, what would you say to them?
Sure. First, I want to say, girl, oh boy, I see you. And I think it starts from with feeling unseen and just feeling that you want that one person to at least recognize your existence. And so I see you. You are not alone. If you were ever looking for an example, look here. Look here. It's all possible. And God, being the foundation of it all, He doesn't start something He won't finish.
Amen.
And I always believe that there was a plan for my life. And the Bible says His plan is not to It is to prosper us. It is to make us flourish. He's got greater plans in Jeremiah. And I know my plan in life, which includes yours, is just to flourish. God
Amen.
has got us. God has got our backs. It may not look like that now, but only if you don't lose trust and don't lose hope and just stay grounded in Christ and wait for the right time. One of the stories I tell about joining Joy Celebration, which sounds easy and light, but what God taught me about timing was that when I wanted it so badly, I was not ready. I wanted it. I went to auditions. I got the auditions, meaning, okay, sure, it was fine according to me, but the time was not right. I was not ready. Only when it happened for the second time and I had to start from line the back of the line to audition again, and that time was the right time. I got Joy Celebration. I haven't felt like I made a mistake. I haven't felt like I was premature for being there now than how I would have felt that time I wanted it so badly. So God really stopped me from my tracks to say, okay, I see you want this so bad, but are you really, really ready now? And he does it so nicely that it just pulls you from the back to sort of sit you down and cool you off. And when you look at it, you're like, okay, this was God, and surely I would have crashed along the way if I went with my own strength. And so he did it so nice that I realized later on that, oh my gosh, you're so good. And I'm getting chills thinking about it. It was not a loud thing to say no. Everything was working out perfectly. I could see myself there. You almost feel like you are right at the door and it's about to open. And then the door doesn't open. And then you have to start again, walk the journey to go back and knock. But because that door would have opened and I wouldn't have been able to take the blessing. I wouldn't have been able to carry the blessing through. So it's not that it's a no. It is because it's not the right time. And
Amen.
we always say that what is yours will never leave you. I believe in that saying
Amen.
that what is yours will always find you.
Amen.
And it just doesn't have to be when we want it. And God doesn't work like that. Until you get an understanding that God does his plans are not our plans. We can do everything we think is right for this to work out. But God, if God is not there, if he's saying no, my child, not now, tomorrow,
There's
you
a
gotta be
reason.
able to listen
Amen.
and wait for your tomorrow.
Amen.
Because once it starts, there's no going back.
Amen, amen, amen. Pamela, we're so excited for what God is doing in your life. There's so much more, but unfortunately, time not on our side. But we'll have a follow-up for sure. Let me ask you, there's so much to you right now. There's the corporate world where you are working. There's event, the car, red carpet hosting. There is events management. What's happening for you now? What's the dream? How do the kingdom support you? Just briefly, or even the details, your contact details, whatever you want to share in as far as how the kingdom can support Pamela.
Absolutely. Thank you for the question, Jenalee. I'm currently in the office. Yes. You can see the cabinets. I booked a corner here. God has blessed me with an 8-to-5, with a job that allows me to still progress the kingdom of God in however God calls me. I thank him every day for that ability to balance life. So yes, there is that corporate side of me, but there is that artist in me that wants to explore the industry every day. I'm open for bookings for red carpet hosting, which is my favorite thing to do because I love interacting with people. I still am learning emceeing, and church is easy, so I love emceeing at church because, beloved, we have to build each other up. But yeah, currently it's Joyous Celebration. We are touring, and I'm just still part of Joyous Celebration. I'm trusting God for an EP or a single this year. And I'm just open to what God is doing. I'm just open. This season for me feels like a season of smooth transitions. It feels like, wherever we're going, God, wherever you're going, I am there, and I'm not feeling any heavy burden. I'm not feeling any stagnant. I'm not feeling like I'm working hard this season. It's so smooth, and so I am open to it, easing into it. Nice. So our beloved family can find me on Instagram. At Pamela underscore Jejane, and if there's anything that the Lord has prompted and that the Lord has led us to do, you will find it there. So yes, I am just on Instagram and TikTok at the moment, which I am
Love it.
struggling to even update. But yes,
It's a lot.
yeah,
It's
God,
a
just yay. But
lot.
we're trusting God. If there's any news, you will find them there. But at the moment, we're just trusting God for what is happening in this season, which feels really light. You get to a moment where you sit and be like, I see what you're doing, God. And at the back of your head, you don't know what, but that feeling that says, I love it.
Something is happening.
Yeah, something is happening. So we
Well,
are there
Pamela,
right now.
we will certainly follow you and we applaud you. May the Lord continue to bless
Amen.
you. May He use you. May His face shine upon you.
Amen.
May He bring peace, joy, and may you just continue to flow this year in the promises of
Amen.
God. The Lord has got you covered and you're amazing. You're
Amen.
special. I just love you. To our listeners, our viewers, let's go and follow up Pamela Jejane. Pamela underscore Jejane on Instagram as well. We'll certainly follow you. God bless you and all that you do. Thank you so much, Pam.
Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. This is such an honor. With that imposter syndrome in mind, I almost said no to this, and I knew it was the devil. I said, no
You
ways.
get
I'm going.
going.
I'm pushing on.
Look
Thank you
at God.
so much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. May God bless you as well, and may you continue to flourish and open doors for us. Thank you. The
Amen.
industry needs
Amen.
people like you who
Amen.
really just support and make space for us. May God really
Amen.
use you, and here's to more listeners in your word.
Amen. Amen. We receive
Thank
that. Thank you so
Amen. Thank
much.
you.